Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth that it speaks into our life. Lord, that it is like a plumb line by which we measure everything within the Christian life. Lord God, as we come to your word now, let it speak into our lives and into our hearts. Lord, let it be transformational so that, Lord, it brings life. Lord, let it be a living word in our spirits now, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. If you want a message this morning, so a title for my message this morning, it's Grace in the Church, Part 2. I've been trying to move away from this series and trying to do other things, and yet God keeps bringing me back to it. But if you want to understand today's message, you need to have heard 2 weeks ago, but you also need to have heard last week's message. Laura preached a fantastic message last week, which, if you weren't here, you need to be here, you need to get the message. It's on the internet, and listen to that. She preached a fantastic message last week, continuing on, really, from where I left off 2 weeks ago. But I want to kind of bring it to a bit of a wrap today. Looking at this kind of grace in the church, how are we going to be church? And a lot of what I'm going to say today, you'll have heard before, because I preached a lot of this back in January. But it's whether or not we were listening and paying attention. So see if you can spot it. But we've just heard Steve read from Ephesians chapter 4. And I read it a few weeks ago. And it's a fantastic passage speaking about what it is to be church. It has those great words in it about Christ has given us a portion of grace in line with the gifts that he wants us to use in the life of the church. So as we receive grace from God, we've been looking at the story of grace these last few weeks, understanding that out of grace comes the opportunity to give and to serve one another. And last 2 weeks ago, we looked at how just your very presence in church is an action of grace. Being here, being part of the life of the church, is an action of grace in itself. That's one of the greatest gifts you can give to the life of the church, is being part of it, gathering with it, when we're called to come together in worship of God. Sharing those gifts of grace, ministering those gifts of grace. And it says in this passage, Paul writes and says, the point of these gifts, the gifts and the callings are things like apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Their purpose is to equip the saints of God for works of service in the body of Christ, to build them up until we reach unity. See, actions of grace, the gifts of grace are given to build us up into something stronger, to build us up as a people of God together, to build us into what? Into a people of maturity. That's the purpose of grace. In the church life together, as we corporately come together. Grace is about saving us, but as we come corporately, it's about building us up into people who are mature in faith, people who are mature in our lives together. Maturity in the church comes from us serving each other. Each one of us has got a gift that God has given us. Each of us is like that jigsaw puzzle, where each a piece which is important in the life of the church. And if you take that piece out, the picture's not complete. Your unique shape fits perfectly into the picture of this church. As God has given you grace, so you're called to minister grace to the lives of each other. And a few weeks ago, we looked at how we're called to change the condition of grace into an action of grace. Actually, as we receive grace as a condition, we are saved by grace. But actually, to turn it into that verb form of the word grace, turn it into an action. We are called to minister to each other using the gifts that God has given us to build us up. And we looked at how 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 says this, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. To be a good steward of the grace that you have received, you are called to use your gifts in the life of the church. You're called to show hospitality to people around you. And we talk about how hospitality isn't just sharing food as we often have it in these days. It's about sharing your entire life with people. Opening up your home, opening up your life, sharing all that you are. And we do it without grumbling, without moaning. And to open up your life, to be hospitable, is a dangerous place to be, because it makes you vulnerable. But it's the same vulnerability that God has shown, by saying, I offer you my love, and you can choose to accept it or not accept it. That's pretty vulnerable. God puts himself on the line and says, it's up to you to make the decision. I can't make it for you. God shows hospitality to us, and so we're called to show that hospitality of grace back to each other. And in doing that, we live those words that Paul writes at the beginning of this passage in verse 4, where he says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. God has called you. He has called you into his salvation. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Freely you have received, so freely give. Live this life honoring, stewarding the grace that you have received. As we were talking at the prayer meeting yesterday, this picture of building blocks and of being built up kept coming to the forefront, which is why I wanted to speak on this morning. It's fresh from what God's been speaking to the life of this church. So I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 2. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, starting there. And it says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God is calling us to himself. And when we encounter him, the living stone, the one who's been rejected and has been made the forefront, the capstone, as we come to Christ, the one who gives righteousness, the one who gives salvation, as we come to him, we become like him. We take on his righteousness. As we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we take on his righteousness. We become fully righteous. And that's living in the life of grace. So as we encounter Christ, as we accept him into our lives, we become fully righteous before God. He doesn't see our sin, he sees the righteousness of Christ. So as we come to Christ, the living stone, so we become a living stone. We become a building block of the house of God. Each of us are building blocks in the house of God. But they're living stones, they're not dead stones. They're stones that are alive. They're called to keep growing. They'll adapt. They'll change. Things that are alive adapt to the environment around them. They change with the circumstances that they find themselves in. Living things are able to respond. Dead things can't. So we're called to be a living stones, being built up into a living house. And the church is the living house of the presence of God. Because when we receive Christ, we get the Spirit of God inside of us. And so when we encounter each other, we encounter Christ. Because Christ lives in me and he lives in you. And so when we have a conversation, when we converse, it's Christ talking to Christ. We can be Christ to each other because Christ lives in us. And so we can minister the grace of Christ that we have received to each other because the Spirit of God, the love of God, lives in us. The Bible says it's like a seal of God's grace over our life. The Spirit of God empowers us to live a life of grace, affecting each other. Peter wants us to grow up, though. He speaks about where we can find our foundation, and our foundation is Jesus. See, the living stones only work when they're built on a foundation, a strong foundation. And the foundation is who? It's Christ. He says, the living stones find their identity, find their strength when they come back to what? The foundation stone. To Jesus. When we come back to Jesus, that's where we find our strength. That's where we find our identity again as to what we're called to be. And it allows us to grow and it allows us to mature. Psalm 92 says this, starting in verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of God. They will still bear fruit, even in old age. They'll stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in him. The righteous flourish where? When they're planted in the house of God. We are made righteous through our encounter with Christ through faith. But how we flourish as Christians isn't out on our own. We flourish as Christians when we're planted in the house of God. Planted into the house of God. Now, there's a lot of teaching these days saying that church is irrelevant, church isn't important. You can do it on your own, you can listen to some CDs, you can listen to some fantastic teaching online, you can have church wherever you are. But actually being rooted in the house of God is where the righteous will flourish. And we are righteous through Christ. And so if we want to flourish as Christians, being rooted and planted in the house of God is what the scriptures say is how we'll do it. Being rooted in the house of God. See, what you're rooted into is the source that you're going to encounter. We are called to be, our foundation stone is Jesus. Our foundation is Jesus. The soil that we're rooted into is Jesus. If we're not rooted and planted into who Christ is, we won't flourish. We won't be built up. And we encounter the fullness of Christ, where? In the living body of Christ, which is the church. Because on our own, each of us could only experience something of God. But when we each encounter God in our different ways, we see these different perspectives of who God is, and we see the bigness, the hugeness of who God is. Because each of us have got a different story. Each of us have got a different encounter that we've had with the living God. And we could bring that experience to help minister into the lives of other people. So when we're rooted in the house of God, we can start seeing more of the fullness of who our God is. See, the Bible says those who are planted in the house. It doesn't say those who attend the house. Did you notice that? It's not those who attend the house, it's those who are planted in the house. Just because you attend church doesn't mean anything. What the Bible's saying here is about being rooted in that house. And so in this church, we have the practice of membership, which is saying, I'm going to enter into a covenant relationship with the rest of the life of the church so that I'm accountable, so that I'm rooted into something. That I'm rooted into good soil. I'm rooted into something which will keep me accountable. It will guide me. It will help plant me in the right source. That's why we have membership. It's not just a nice idea. It's actually about saying, it's about rooting yourself into something. Because just attending means that you can be blown back and forward, but when you're planted in something, you're rooted, you're strong, you can put down roots, you can get good teaching, you can get good soil. You're rooted into the life of the church. But also in the life of the church, if it's where grace is ministered, it's, the reason being rooted in the church is important, if it's where your gifts can then grow and develop. You can nurture and grow your gifts in the life of the church, in a safe environment where people can, you can be accountable and where people can help teach you and guide you in those things. Because otherwise what happens is we can become immature in the grace that we've received. We become immature. And Paul's saying the whole purpose of church, the whole purpose of grace is to grow up in our salvation. But it's very easy to go, I've got this gift from God. I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go and do this. And actually, maturity is saying, I recognize the need to hone this gift, to rein myself in sometimes, and be planted into the life of the church, to come under accountability, to come under the authority of the church, so that my gift can grow, so that my gift can come under that accountability structure. It's about planting yourself into the church. I used to always say, when I first felt a call from God into ministry, I went, I'm just going to plant a church somewhere. Thought, that's my heart, church planting. I'm going to plant a church. That's fantastic, wonderful. And very quickly, I realized that I was immature. Still am. And I realized that actually, if I just went off and planted a church, I'd have no accountability. I'd have no support networks. And I'd probably get a lot of things wrong and damage a lot of people. Because the gifting was there, the calling was there, but I hadn't honed it yet. Still quite haven't honed it yet. Still honing it. But it would have been a disaster. I would have damaged a lot of people in the process. And often we can have an inspirational God idea. I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go and do this. And actually sometimes we just need to rein ourselves back in a bit and say, you know what, God, actually, I want to be rooted in the house of God because that's where I'll flourish. So I want the people who are going to support me in what I feel God's calling me to do. I want people who are going to say, actually, you know what, Pete? That's a stupid idea. Or people are going to go, Pete, we see the gift and the call of God on you, but this is how we think you should go about learning this process of gifting. And if in a few years' time you still feel this is the right thing, we'll support you and you can go with our blessing and you can go under our authority. That's why I became part of the Baptist ministry. Because I thought, I need to be accountable to something. I want to be part of a process that says, I'm accountable. I come under the authority of someone else. I come under something. Because it shows to you that I'm trying to be accountable. And in the life of the church, accountability is crucial for us to grow up and be mature in the life of the church. Ministering our gifts, ministering the grace gifts that God's given us to build each other up. When you're rooted, you find support. When you're out on your own, very easily you get picked off by the enemy. And if you look at the story of the parable of the sower, he throws out all this lovely grain. The stuff that falls on the rocky ground just gets picked up by the birds and eaten, taken away. The stuff that's got shallow roots grows up quickly, looks fantastic, but withers and dies. And very easily in church sometimes, we can want things to happen so quickly that we make things happen, and it grows up, and it looks fantastic, but it dies and withers, and we go, oh, again, what's this about? It has no roots. It has no foundation. It talks about being living stones, being built up. And one of the things I realized in my life as I was going on with God, was I'd get to points in my life, and it felt like I was there's a barrier in my Christian life. And I could get so far, but no further. And then what seemed to happen is, the more I tried to push that, it felt like everything would just collapse around me. I'd be like, God, what's happened? It was all going so well. We were at the top of our game, and then everything's just come crumbling down. I remember one of these times, God spoke to me very clearly, and he said, Pete, the thing is, if you want to go higher, if you want to build higher in your life, Pete, with me, you've got to have deeper foundations. And to deepen your foundations, we've got to take down what's there, dig some deeper foundations, so that we can build something higher and bigger. And so often in our lives, we think our foundations are fine and sorted, and we forget about them. And we keep trying to build and build and build in our Christian life, and we get to a certain barrier in our Christian walk. And we get so far, and we can't go any further. And we think, oh, God, you've let me down yet again. God, you've let me down again. Actually, it's not God's let you down. It's God saying, we can only go as high as your foundations will allow. Or we can only grow as big or as deep as your roots go. That's the reality. And so actually, there's times when we get to a barrier in our life, we think, actually, I can't seem to get over this. The answer, I think, from this passage is saying, you come back to the living stone, Jesus Christ himself. If he's the foundation, everything we need to build our life upon is found in who he is. Everything that we need our life to build upon is in Jesus Christ. So it's coming back to the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus, and saying, what do I need to learn more? Because my foundations clearly aren't big enough for what God wants to do in my life. Christ, you're not big enough in my life to allow me to build upon it what you want to build. And that can be true for us as a church body, not just individually, but us as a church. It can feel sometimes as a church that we can hit certain barriers in the life of the church, and we get always to this point. After we get to this point, it just seems to always fail and collapse. And we think, oh, why is that? Maybe it's because actually our foundations aren't big enough to support what God wants to do beyond that. Maybe to grow deeper foundations in the life of our church, in the lives of ourselves, so that God can truly work us into maturity, so that we can grow up in our salvation, as this passage says. Grow into that full maturity that he wants from us. He wants us to grow. He wants us be all that we can be. The message version of this passage, which Carol read to us yesterday at prayer breakfast, one of the lines of it is fantastic. It just says this: present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests, offering Christ approved lives. Offer yourselves as building stones for the construction of a vibrant sanctuary of life. Are you prepared to offer your life for the vibrancy of a house of God? Are we prepared to do that? See, I believe that the church should be a greenhouse for grace, to grow us into unity and into maturity to bear much fruit. If we've received grace, the church can be like a greenhouse, which is there to help us grow, to nurture us in our growth, so we come into full maturity, so that we can bear fruit for Him. The fruit only comes from what we're plugged into, from the source, from the roots, what we've plugged into, what we built upon. Because out of that foundation, out of that root, that is what we'll bear fruit of. That is what we will see in our life. So in our lives, there are seasons of construction and there are seasons of deconstruction. When God wants to build us up, sometimes He has to take us down in order to build a bigger foundation so that we can grow up in Him. But there's one last thing I want to just mention this morning, which I've mentioned here before, is about how that word there for stone, in Strong's Greek dictionary, it talks about how the word there for stone, living stone, is also the same word for millstone. You've heard me talk about this before. Same word for millstone. And I've spoken before about how that word for millstone, it's saying, when we build things up in Christ, when we build the life of the church, church can either be something which brings life or brings death. Because the millstone, when it's living and active, when it's turning, it has a purpose and a function. It grinds corn. It grinds to make flour. But when it's just dead weight, when it's not working, it's just dead weight, and it brings death, it brings destruction. And it says in Matthew 18 about how if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Saying, the stone can either bring life or it can bring death. And the way it brings life is that it's working for its intended function and purpose. When the millstone, which has been carved beautifully to fit in a certain place within the mill, when it's working, it has a purpose, it has a reason, and its weight is used in the right way for a purpose. But when it just stops, when it's not part of the machine, it's just a dead weight. It's just heavy. Its heaviness has no purpose. Its heaviness only has a purpose when it's part of the entire mill. And so for us as Christians, our gifting is like that. We're living stones. We can either be living stones which are dead weight, which means the whole church is just like heavy, and the church, living life in church, is just hard work. It's difficult. Or we can put into practice what God's given us. We become living stones. And the millstone grinds the grain. And the grain produces flour. And the flour produces bread. And in the scriptures, bread is always a picture of God's grace. It's a picture of life and it's a picture of God's grace. The millstone transforms the grain into something which brings life. And the purpose of church is to transform us from kernels of grain into something which is like flour, which brings life. To be part of the bread of life, Jesus Christ Himself. We are His body. We are that life. And sometimes in church, we've been hurt. We've had things happen, or we've tried certain things and things have failed. And we think, what's the point now? So we stop the millstone turning and we just think, oh, this is just heavy. It's hard work and I'll come out of habits because I ought to come to church. And we think, oh, well, I failed. I can't do anything now. And Laura spoke fantastically last week about restoring our first calling. But the verse I just want to bring to you this morning is from Romans 11:29, which says this: for God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. You hear that? The gift and call of God is irrevocable. If He's laid a gift on your heart, if He's put a calling on your life, it's irrevocable. He doesn't take it away. And so what happens if you're not using the gifts that God's given you, they'll be like dead weight in your life, always hanging over you, always thinking, oh, I just wish it would go away, this gift of prophecy. I keep knowing things about the future I don't want to know. Or, I wish I wasn't a pastor, because all these people are really annoying, aren't they? It becomes like dead weight. You think, oh, this is annoying. But the gifts that God's given you are just there. They're irrevocable. God won't take them away. So if you have a gift from God, or you have a call from God, it's irrevocable. It doesn't go away. We see this in the life of Saul in the scriptures. Saul becomes king, appointed by God. He messes up. God doesn't stop him being king. He just says, your descendants won't be king. Because the calling and gift of God are irrevocable. Saul lives out his life, still with the calling and the gifts that God gave him. It didn't carry on. There was no fruit from it because he messed up. But God never took the call or the gifts away from Saul. The calling and gifts of God are irrevocable. And so if you decide that actually God's called you in your life and actually you've messed up and you can no longer do it, it's a lie. Because God's gifts and God's call are always there. And what happens if you don't use them, they'll just be hanging over you as dead weight. They'll be really, really annoying. So let your identity and your calling come from Christ, the foundation stone, the one we can root into. And out of finding our identity in Christ, out of finding our calling in Christ, knowing that that call never leaves us, never goes away, nothing we can do to get rid of that calling because it's irrevocable. Find your calling, find your identity as you live a life of grace in the life of the church. Be planted and rooted where you can flourish as someone who has received the righteousness of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of this church. Lord, help us to be rooted and planted in your house. Lord, so that we can flourish by having roots, by having a foundation. Lord, help us minister grace to one another. Help us see the gifts in each other and call them out. Lord, help each of us be that piece of jigsaw puzzle that just fits its right place. Help us do our bit so that, Lord, everyone can experience the grace of God in the life of the church. Lord God, we thank you that you are the head of this church and that we follow you.